be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Zechariah, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." The Gospel of the Lord. As we near the end, well, today is the end of our Advent celebration, and after sunset, today begins our celebration of Christmas. As a matter of fact, we are preparing to decorate the church already for that big event. But as we approach the celebration of the birth of the Lord, which is earth-shaking, really changing the history of earth, the church, the liturgy gives us a beautiful context of his coming, a context which is very, very important, but not so much heard of in our understanding of the coming of the Lord. And we see that in that context is in the book of Samuel, which was our first reading. You see, the Lord comes to give us the fullness of the covenant that we have with God. Now, what is a covenant? All through history, God reaches out to his people in and through covenant. A covenant is a family relationship that is made and established through oath. We don't have much covenant these days, but in the ancient times, that's an institution. The closest we can have with a covenant these days is the marriage covenant, the marriage between a man and a woman. That is a covenant. So it's the establishment of a familial relationship that is made through oaths. You know, so going an example of a marriage covenant, you know, you can have someone, the woman is from the Philippines and the man is from Mexico. They don't have any relationships, but they come together in marriage, and then the two families come together. They become like natural families. That's the idea of the covenant. And God, being the God of love, has reached out through time and space to his people to bring us to him in a familial bond. This is something new in the eyes of the ancient world, because for the Greeks, that's stupid. Because they said, because the Greeks, in their sophistication, in their philosophical sophistication, they say, you know, the divine and the human, they can't come together. That's the reason why St. Paul said in his letter, the cross is foolishness to the Greeks. It's foolishness because the divine and the human, they can't come together. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a personal God. He's a God of love, And as a God of love, it's in His nature to share Himself. Caritas effusivum sui. The nature of love is such that it communicates itself. It shares itself. And so our God had done that since the beginning of time. And the way He did that was through covenant. It began with Adam, and then continued with Noah, and then continued with Abraham, and then with Isaac, and then with Jacob. So these patriarchs were the mediators of the covenant in which God ties himself for eternity with His people. Now, in the covenant, there are, of course, some expectations, just like there are expectations of husband and wives coming together in marriage. Simply put, the expectation is such that He will be our God and we will be His people. He will provide and bless us from all of our needs and protect us from all of our enemies. And for our part, we will be faithful to Him. That's simplifying the terms of the covenant, but essentially that's what the covenant is. And as you can see, all through history, God has been faithful. God has been faithful to the covenant. He's there no matter what. But the side of humanity, for all of us, well, you know, they're from our ancestors, the Jews, the ancient Jews, there's always been a struggle of being faithful to God. Plenty of times we read in history, they bowed down to other gods. They left God and gave their allegiance to another god or placed their hopes and security on a superpower, be that Egypt or Babylon, leaving God behind. And so there's unfaithfulness on the part of humanity. That's always been the case. And so here is a renewal of the covenant, and now it is with David. And how amazing the promises of the covenant. And God said, "You're not making me a house. I will build you a house." Speaking of a dynasty, a kingdom for David that would last for eternity. And He says, I will set up for you an heir who will rule over your house for all eternity. There God is speaking of the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, who is the Christ, coming from the line of David. And so the new covenant now will arrive with the coming of Christ. Remember, this is a familial bond. God is inserting us into His family. We will be family, and there will be oath, and there will be expectation, and God will be there faithful, and we too must be faithful. Now, what's the difference now with this promised Messiah, the promised heir of David, standing for us in the covenant that God is making with His people? Remember the problem with the covenant. Humans has difficulty being faithful to God. You know, all of us right now in our times, we're having difficulty trying that. That's why we have confession, because we fall every now and then. But you know what? With the coming of Christ, who is truly God and truly man, He's a perfect man. Now, humanity can respond to God with perfect obedience, with perfect faithfulness. That's the significance of Jesus all through His life, all through the recorded narrative in all of the Gospels, speaking of His obedience to the Father. Even when He was sweating blood right there in Gethsemane and thinking of what the Father would like for Him to do for the salvation of the world, He will be humiliated. He will be tortured. He will be killed. And all of that is in His mind. That's the will of the Father. In His obedience, the Lord said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Finally, humanity has a perfect response to the will of God as part of the covenant. And so that's the reason why we rejoice. Because he who is coming is one like us. He has our flesh given to him by the Blessed Mother, but he is also divine. He is also God. He is perfectly human and perfectly divine. And so we are attached to his humanity. And so as we enter that familial covenant with God, we are confident that our response now will be perfect, unlike the days of old when we stumble about saying yes to God. And so, my friends, this coming Christmas, we thank the Lord for giving us his Son, who is like us in every way but sin, who took his flesh from our Blessed Mother, one of our own, the pride of our race. And so, when we pray before the Lord, remember you are praying in the person of the one who has always responded to God with perfect obedience and with perfect humility. That's the reason why at every prayer we say, we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.